Chapter 14 this morning, John chapter 14. I'm going to begin a message. I'm not going to get through it this morning. I purposely stopped typing at a certain point because I felt like that's enough right there. You know what I mean? So John chapter 14, and we're going to begin our reading in verse 16. If you're keeping notes with me, I'm preaching on John 14, 16 through 31. That's through the end of the chapter. Let's read this together, get our title, and then we will proceed. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. All that day ye shall, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. By the way, this is not my sermon, but that's interesting, isn't it? Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. It shows you the power of your name. Said, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm not going to get that far this morning. I wish I could get to verse 27 this morning. But aren't you glad for the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ gives? Verse 28. You've heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, and let us go hence. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark two words in verse 22 and 23. It's the two words, Lord, Jesus. And I want to preach to you, begin a message this morning on the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this message this morning that we're about to hear. And as I studied and as I prepared and as I'm preparing to preach, I confess to you, Lord, that I need your help. I cannot do this. But I realize that you've never asked me to. You've asked me to simply turn myself over to you. And Lord, may you flow through me today. Challenges from your word, help us to get a grasp on what's being said. And may your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we're studying through this book together, we're just progressing a chapter at a time. And as we come to these verses, we're reminded of how the Lord Jesus has been sharing truths with his disciples, keep this in mind now, in order to comfort their troubled hearts. Remember in context, he has just recently told them that he's going to be leaving them for a while. He's going to be leaving them behind. And no doubt because they'd spent so much intimate time with him, friendly time with him, him training them and loving them and all of this, no doubt when they heard he's leaving, this troubled their heart. This was troubling news. In order to comfort their troubled hearts, the Lord began to share several truths with them. These truths, we've already preached on some of them. Let me mention some of them here. These truths included the place that he was going to prepare for them, the promise that he was going to come receive them, the provision that he made for them. He went on to share with these men to simply believe him, remember, that he is one with the Father, that they would do greater works than he did on earth, and that he would simply be a prayer away from them, even though they could not see him when he left. Now, before we get to the meat of the passage before us, I want to ask you a question. Is your heart troubled today? Is there something going on in your life that has you troubled? By the way, if your answer is no, you ought to get on your face and say, thank you, Jesus. But if your answer is yes, welcome to life. Because every now and then, life will throw every person in this building, if they live long enough, something that's troubling news, something that's heartbreaking news. Life has its way of doing this, and we're not alone. But during these troublesome times, the Lord is wonderful to use the truths of His Word to comfort us, like He used His Word to comfort His disciples. If you're troubled today, go to Him. Ask Him to speak to your troubled heart. And along with that, consider what the Lord's already said and what He's getting ready to say here. Now, in the passage before us now, the Lord is still sharing truths with these men that could continue to encourage them during this time of His imminent departure from them. In these verses, the Lord Jesus Christ is still on center stage for our attention. And I want you to notice how Judas, not Iscariot, calls Him Lord. That word Lord there means master, controller, supreme in authority, or God. So when this Judas said that, he was saying Lord, controller, master, supreme in authority, God. And may I pause and say, this is truly who the Lord Jesus is. He is the Lord. He is the master. He is the controller of it all. He is the one supreme in authority, and He is God Almighty. There are several things about Him that I want us to consider in this text. Now again, I'm only going to get to major thought one, the first thing, and then I'm going to give you several things under it, not even going to get through all of those, okay? It all starts with P. You just have to worry about one today. Are you ready? The Lord Jesus, several things about Him. Number one, we notice first of all His promises. By the way, let me say this to you. Anytime you're troubled, the promises of God can be such a blessing to you. God's promises have a way to encourage a troubled heart. And it's interesting here that the Lord has already given them several promises. He's going to prepare a place. He's coming back. Oh, we've already preached on that. And He continues with just more of His promises. If you're keeping notes, this is Roman numeral 1, and it's down from verse 16 down to verse 27. We won't get that far, but we're going to get pretty close. In this time when the disciples no doubt were troubled with the news that the Lord Jesus was leaving them, the Lord continued to give them some precious promises. I want to look at these today, and these promises were to encourage their time of heartache. And may I say this, these same promises can encourage our heart today. Let me give you four of them today, okay? This is letter A, all right? First one. Here it is, verses 16 through 18, and then verse 26. Here's promise number one. I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. What a promise. What a promise. The first promise the Lord gave had to do with the sending of another comforter. Yes, the Lord was leaving for a while, but He was not going to leave them alone. He was going to send them another comforter. It's interesting in verse number 18, notice this, I will not leave you comfortless. You know what that word comfortless means there? See if you can figure it out. In the Greek language, it means orphanus. What's that sound like? Orphan. What's an orphan? Without a mom and dad, right? Going through life alone. Let me read it this way. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. See, He's getting ready to leave. But I'm going to send another comforter who'll never leave. Boy, I'm getting blessed right there. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. What a promise, friends. I mean, the name comforter here, you know what it means? It means an advocate. It means an intercessor. It means a consoler. The word another means of the same kind. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus God? Yes. Was he a comforter? Yes. So when he said, I'm going to send another comforter, one of the same kind, somebody who's going to do the same thing I did for you in person, another comforter, same kind. May I say this to you? So's the Holy Spirit God, friends. Amen. I'm telling you that you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Harry Ironside said comforter comes from two Latin words, from con and from fortis. And when you put con fortis together, the one means to be in company with and the other means to strengthen. And that actually, the comforter is one who strengthens by companionship. We need to remember that the Lord Jesus was the comforter to these men. Don't you see it? He's the one that gave them comfort. He's the one that gave them strength for over 3 years. But now he's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to go home. And having his presence with them was such a comfort. But now they hear he's leaving and their comfort was trying to go with him. But he said, wait a minute. Let me give you a promise. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you orphans on planet Earth. I'm going to send another comforter. He's coming. He identifies him as the Spirit of Truth that was with them and shall be in them. Verses 16 and 17. This one would be their comforter. This one would be their teacher. This one would be their reminder. That's all in verse number 26. This comforter is identified, so there's no doubt, as the Holy Ghost in verse number 26. God seems to be laying a topical series on my heart, and if he doesn't change my mind, I plan when I get back from India in the near future, God willing, maybe to preach on the doctrine of the person of the Holy Ghost. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. He does not lift himself up. He lifts the Lord Jesus Christ up. But it would be great for us to know more about him and how he functions and how he works and how he moves. It's interesting here that one man said, he said that he would not leave his people alone during their time on earth. He would send the Spirit to dwell within them. Jesus called him the Comforter. And again, when you look at these words, it means one who walks beside us to help us. That's what it means. You and I live in a world that is not our friend. We have many adversaries, and our lives are filled with trouble and distress, but the Holy Spirit of God, who is the omnipotent God, dwells within God's children, and he never leaves, he never forsakes, and he's constantly there to help us through this veil of tears. Thank God for sending his only begotten Son into this world. Amen. Thank God for sending Jesus into this world to die and rise again for sinners. But along with this, thank God for sending his Holy Spirit to dwell within believers, to give comfort, to teach us the right way, remind us of what God's will is. Thank God for the Comforter. The Word of God says in Romans 8, 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own. Here's promise number one. I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to send another comforter. Let me ask you a question. Has the Holy Spirit of God comforted you in life? Has he given you hope, peace, rest? If he has, we ought to get on our face and thank the Lord Jesus Christ for this promise right here. I'm leaving, but I'll send another comforter. What a promise. Promise number two, letter B. I will come to you. This is found in verse 18, the latter part of it. Now there's debate as to what the Lord Jesus Christ literally meant by this statement when he said, I will come to you. There can be definite truth, no doubt, that he was coming to them in spirit after his ascension. But I agree with what one man said when he said, we believe that these words are to be understood in their widest latitude. For instance, he came to them immediately after his resurrection, remember. In Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, he had died, but he came to them before he went back to heaven. Some believe he may be talking about that. Some believe he's talking in context here about the Spirit after his ascension. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit of God would come down, that's the Lord, that's God coming to them in the person of the Holy Spirit. Others also teach that this promise can be applied to his overall promise to all of God's children, that he is coming again to receive us unto himself. That's what we're latching on to, you understand. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Here's what I want to say to you. In this great promise where he said, I will come to you, he was announcing to these disciples that death would not hold him. Because keep in mind, he's getting ready to leave, and by this time, the next day, so to speak, he will be dead. He will be in a grave. They will have crucified him, and the disciples will have dispersed, and they will think that Jesus is gone, he's dead. But wait a minute, he gave them a promise. I will come to you. He's telling them, death will not hold me, that he will be back. Let me say this to you. Even though there's three schools of thought talking about, well, he meant after his resurrection. No, he meant in the coming of the Holy Spirit. No, he means at the end, whenever he comes to receive his bride. May I just simply say this to you? No matter where you land, on which one you think that phrase literally means, we can all rejoice that he came to them after his resurrection. He has come in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he will come again to get his children some glorious day. Why in the world argue about it? Listen to me. What does it really matter which one of those three he meant? Because he came, and he's coming. Let's just rejoice in that truth. Amen today. I'm glad that I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. He could come back right now. And that is what we can rejoice about. For the time being, let us just rest in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ comes to us in the Holy Spirit today. But also, there's a glorious day coming when he's going to split the eastern sky. I like what F.B. Meyer said, because no doubt you can apply this truth that I will come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit of God and how he gives comfort and rest and peace in trials. F.B. Meyer said, and I quote, he comes when you need him most. When the storm is high and the water's pouring into the boat. When the house is empty because the life that made it home has fled. When Jericho has to be attacked on the morrow and the Jordan has to be crossed, when lover and friend stand aloof, when light is fading from, I'm talking about before dimming eyes, the names and faces elude the grasp of the aged mind, when the last coal is turning to gray ash, when the rush of the river is heard in the valley below, Jesus says, I come, I come. John R. Rice tells a story. He said, I was asked to conduct a funeral for a 15-year-old girl. My heart, as I thought on what I should do, it was just real heavy and it was breaking, so to speak. This is John R. Rice telling a story. The father had abandoned the family. Since he couldn't get a job, he left the family. The mother had toiled and slaved until her body was worn out, and she took tuberculosis and was bedfast. And now her beloved little daughter was dead. Put yourself in this lady's place. Her husband, he can't get a job, so he just abandons the family. He takes off. She's working herself to the bone, so to speak, and gets tuberculosis and now bedfast. She can't even get out of bed. Then she gets news that her 15-year-old daughter has died a premature death. This woman couldn't get out of the bed to go to the grave and look at her daughter. She would have to be carried out of the bed so she could look down into the casket to view the face of her departed daughter. John R. Rice said, "I thought to myself, what am I going to say? How can I help this lady?" I'm paraphrasing. But he said, "When I came to her bedside to talk to her, she said with tears, yet with joy, and I quote, 'Brother Rice, Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you.' And Brother Rice, he came. He came. Have you ever gone through a troubling trial? And the Lord Jesus, in the person of the Holy Spirit, came to you and spoke peace and gave you comfort. There are people in this church undergoing tremendous trials. And I want you to focus on this promise. I will not leave you orphans. That's promise one. I will come to you. That's promise two. Friends, the Lord has His way of coming to troubled hearts. Do you know what I'm saying? Yes. Do you understand what I'm preaching to you today? He said to their troubled hearts, "I'm leaving, but I promise you some things. I want to give you some promises. Promise number one, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you down here just wandering around all by yourself. I'm going to send another comforter. And secondly, I'll come to you. I will come to you." Let me give you promise number three. This is found in verse 19. Let's read this. "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me." Here it is. Here's promise three. "Because I live, ye shall live also." Glory to God, friends. What a promise this was and still is to God's true children. The Lord Jesus told these men that because He lives, they would live. Wait a minute. Now we know that each one of these men that He's talking to right here, including Himself, the Lord Jesus, they are going to die. They've all died already. So what did the Lord truly mean? Yes, He was going to die on the cross. But once again, death couldn't hold Him, friends. He is life, the Word of God says. And all those who are identified with Him will never die because we're united as one with Him. I like the way one man put it. Listen to this. There's a mysterious and indissoluble union between Christ and every true Christian. The man that is once joined to Him by faith is as closely united as a member of the body is united to the head. Now get this. So long as Christ, His head, lives, so long He will live. He cannot die unless Christ be plucked from heaven and Christ's life be destroyed. But this, since Christ is very God, is totally impossible. Romans 6:9 says, "Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more." Death hath no more dominion over Him. Can I paraphrase? He's alive forevermore. That's what it means. And it means Christ's life secures the continuance of spiritual life to His people. Weak as we may be, we are closely knit to an immortal head, and not one member of His mystical body shall ever perish. The victory that Jesus won when He rolled the stone away, And he came forth from the tomb was a victory not only for himself, but for his people. Since the head arose, much more shall the body arise. Each child of God is invisibly linked to the throne of the Rock of Ages. When that throne can be shaken, and not till then, we may despair. Did you hear what that statement said? When do we need to be concerned that we have eternal life if we've trusted Christ as our Savior? When do we need to be concerned that we're not going to see our saved loved ones who's gone on before us? When is that a concern? When do we need to despair? When do we need to be distraught? Here's what it says. As long as Jesus is alive, his children, God's children, will be alive. Which means that until he is shaken off of his throne and killed, heaven is a sure promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry as long as the head is alive. And friends, the Word of God says that he's alive forevermore. And he's telling these disciples, I'm going away. But I want you to know I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to send another comforter. He's going to be like me. He's going to comfort you forever. He's not just going to be with you like I was. He's going to be in you. What a comforter. I'm going to come to you. And because I live, you will live also. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a departed loved one on the other side? You have a departed loved one who died in the Lord. Hear this promise. Because I live, ye shall live also. What a promise, friends. That's a promise to carry you through this veil of tears. Then I close with the fourth promise he gave. And that's found in verses 21 to 25. Now listen to this, because I'm putting all this together. So it's not like a direct quote. There it is. I'm putting it all together. When you read verses 21 to 25, here's promise number 4. I and my Father will love, manifest ourselves to, and make our abode with those who love us. Now that's a long statement, I know. Let me say it again. I and my Father will love, manifest ourselves to, and make our abode with those who love us. Now, the words of the Lord Jesus here are both confirming and comforting to God's true children. Don't let these verses trip you up by making you think that it's teaching a works-based salvation. That's ridiculous. Because we know that we are saved by grace, not by works. We already know that. You understand that. I don't need to preach on that. But the fact here is there is evidence of true living faith in a child of God. That's the Bible message. Those who say they love God, they prove it by obeying his commands. I mean, he even said in verse number 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Don't just say it, prove it. And may I say this to you? Those who truly love the Lord Jesus Christ and they have proof in their life that they do, there's proof that they're Christians, there's proof that they're truly saved, there's living faith in them. You understand what I'm saying to you? That manifests itself by obeying his voice. They have this awesome promise that Jesus Christ said, my Father and I will love them. And we will manifest ourselves to them. And we will make our abode with them. You know what the word abode means? We will make our abode with them. You know what the word abode means? Look it up. You know what it means? It means we'll make our mansion with them. You know what that means? Your body, if you're saved, has the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit living in you as their mansion. I mean, what a promise here, friends. One man put it this way: faith is the root of which obedience is the beautiful flower and fruit. The Lord will give no direct and special revelation of himself to those who are in the path of disobedience. 1 John 2:5 says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. If his love's perfected in us, how do you know you love him? If you keep his word." That's what that verse is teaching. That's what he's teaching here. You say you love me. Those who love me obey my voice. Those who are really mine will submit. Now that doesn't mean that it's constant submission. Have you ever disobeyed the Lord? Sure. So did Peter. So did these disciples. But you can't live in constant disobedience. The point in all of this is this. Those who say they love the Lord prove it by the life they live, and they have the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father will love them, manifest himself to them, and make their abode with them. What a blessing, what an encouragement in time of trouble. Even though the Lord was getting ready to leave them, they could enjoy his permanent presence in their hearts. That's what he's teaching them. Think about it. One man said, think for a moment what that means. Living alongside us, living with us, living where we live are the most two powerful, loving, wide, and wonderful persons in the universe. They control all the factors of matter, time, and space. They're the objects of ceaseless angelic adoration, tribute, service, and song. Yet they have chosen to make their abode with us. Here's the main thought with promise number 4. When he says, those who love me, and they prove it by the life they live, there's evidence in their life. They love me, they prove it, there's fruit. I and my Father will love them, manifest ourselves to them, and also we will make our abode with them. What he's doing here, now think with me. While he was on earth walking in a human body, pretend that he's walking in a human body. Yes, he's Jesus. Yes, we understand that. But I'm talking about in his body, he was at one place at one time. And they could fellowship with him throughout the day. He was with them in bodily form. Now get this. It was only occasional fellowship because he was in body. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus now. But now he promises them, because I'm getting ready to leave you and accomplish my Father's will, instead of you having occasional fellowship with me, you can have continuous fellowship with me. Because I and my Father are willing to come and make you our home. And we're willing to sit down in you and show you who we are. And we're willing to let you know that we love you for eternity. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 2 Corinthians 6:16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Let me paraphrase this message and I'm done this morning. In context, the Lord Jesus Christ has just told these disciples, I'm getting ready to leave you. The man that they'd spent so much time with, the man that they had watched perform miracles, the man that they have grown to love and even confess him, this is Messiah, this is the Son of God. By the way, if the Lord Jesus Christ was walking in bodily form on earth, would you not want him to stay with you? Would you not want him to stay around? I mean, would you not want him just to hang around so you can be around him all the time? Sure, because you love him, who he is. He's peace. He's the comforter. That's who he is. That's why he says, I'll send you another comforter. He is the comforter, you see. And by having him with them, they realized life is worth living.
Put yourself in the disciples' place. And the day comes where he says, I'm getting ready to leave. I'm getting ready to leave you. And by the way, I'm going to a place where you can't go right now. Don't you understand how that must have crushed them? No wonder Peter said, I'll die with you. I'll go to death with you. The Lord says, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. You even know me. Another blow to his heart. And that's when he begins John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Believe me when I tell you that I'm one with the Father. You're going to do greater works than me. Believe me when I tell you that I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send another comforter. And he's not just going to be with you like I was with you. He's going to get inside of you. And he'll never leave. He's going to be there forever. And I want you to know that when I send you this comforter, you can trust him like you trust me. And there's coming a day I'm going to come to you. I will help you. I will guide you. I will lead you. And understand, you don't get this yet. I'm getting ready to die. I'm getting ready to go. Yeah. But because I live, you will live also. And don't forget this. Me, who you see today, that you could have occasional fellowship with and occasional communion with in my body, I'm talking about in a place. If you really love me, glory to God, I'm getting blessed right there. If you really love me and love my Father, there'll be proof in your life because you'll obey what I'm telling you to do. And I'm telling you that if you have that proof in your life and you know in your heart that you are mine and I'm yours, my Father and I will come to you. We will love you. And we will show ourselves to you. And friends, we'll make you our mansion. What a promise. Don't you see what this high priest is doing? When your heart is breaking, he really does care. And what does he do to heal a broken heart? He gives his promises. Do you need to claim one? Is your heart breaking inside your chest? Is your heart troubled? Hear these words. And why don't you do what I've done numerous times with the man in the New Testament? Beat on your chest and say, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. There's help for a troubled heart. First thing he gave was his promises. That's four of them. There's another one. It's verse 27. Read it. We'll preach on that later. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you, Lord, for how you speak from your word to our hearts. Thank you for the promises that you give. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Today is a simple thought. It's not simple meat, so to speak, but it's a simple thought. And the thought is this. God gives his promises
to those who have a troubled heart. That's what he's doing here. That's really what he's continuously doing throughout the chapter of 14 here. He's just speaking to their heart that has just been shattered. And maybe this morning you're here today, but you're suffering from a broken heart. Your heart is troubled. Your heart is perplexed. How many of you today say, Jody, I'm here this morning, and as they begin to play, my heart is troubled. There's something in my life that's troubling my heart. Now, it could be good things or even it could be bad things, but you say, I have a troubled heart. Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, I've got a troubled heart today. Yes, that's a lot of you. Will you rest in these promises? Rest in them. I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will send, and I'm going to put this, he already has sent another comforter who is the Holy Ghost. And if he lives in you, he wants to help you. He wants to walk in you and alongside of you to help you, to give you strength. Well, maybe you just need to rest in the second promise of the Lord is coming. It could be today. Or maybe you need to rest in the promise today that because he lives, you will live also. Or because he lives, that saved loved one will live also. Or maybe you need to rest in the promise that if you're saved, you're his mansion, you're his dwelling place. Now he wants to manifest himself to you, commune with him, walk with him, talk with him, let him share more of himself with you. Why, Brother Gary, just to begin to sing, if today you need to come and trust Christ as your Savior, if you don't even know what I'm talking about today, maybe it's because you're lost and you need to be saved. Or maybe today God is speaking to your heart, just encouraging you and helping your troubled heart. If you need to be saved, you come. If you need a troubled heart to be helped or healed, you come. As Brother Gary begins to sing, you come now. Would you do it?
Oh, soul, are you?
There's time for you. Come on.
Troubled,
come talk to God.
No light in
lay that troubled heart down to the Lord.
You see.
Ask God to breathe upon you.
There's help. Light for a
encourage
look at the Savior.
Give you strength.
And life more abundant and free.
This is it.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. And go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of
you can look this way. This is Jesse Garber. Jesse, if you'll stand, your mom and dad can stand with you. And Travis and Stacy, if you want to stand with him. The Garbers have been such a faithful family. Been coming. Praise the Lord for it. I had the privilege of visiting in his home yesterday, and that they told me that he had never trusted Christ. Just told him to just to be sensitive, so to speak. I'm paraphrasing. And today in Children's Church, Jesse has responded. And he wants us to know that today he has called upon the Lord Jesus Christ and he's receiving the Lord as his personal Savior. Is that true, Jesse? We are so happy for you. Have you happy for him? Say a big amen. Can you imagine being a child coming in here and looking at all of our faces? You know what I'm saying? But I like this because this young man needs to know that he's among friends. And we're so proud of you. God bless you. This is thrilling. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Thank you so much. All right. This is Sean and Betty Joe Bailey. If you'll stand here, please. And we are so thrilled about this. Miss Charlotte standing with them. The Lord's been doing a work in their lives. We're thrilled to have you. They both know that they've trusted Christ as their Savior. They've been baptized in a church of like faith. They have read the bylaws and agreed to submit to them. And they believe God would have them to become members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I open the doors to you. Close the back door. I don't want you to go out the back door. Come in the front and stay in. And help us do something for God. And we praise the Lord for this. They're joining by statement. Could I have the pleasure of the church that we receive them by statement? Brother Larry Trent, could I get a second, please? Steve Mullins, all in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. If you do, shame on you, right? Thank you for being here. Welcome to the membership of Buffalo Ridge. And I'll say this to you. God has a work for you to do here. And be praying about it. What ministry God would have you get involved in. You may find it tonight in Vision Night. And ask God to speak to you in that. That'll be good. I want you to remain there and you folks to remain there because our folks will want to come by and shake your hand. It's been good to be in God's house. And let's be back tonight at 6:30. If you cannot be here, try to watch live if you can. Vision Night 2016. I'm excited about it. Hope you'll be here. Let's stand together. If you're visiting with us and have a visitor's card, please take it out through the lobby, drop it off to Welcome Center. That'll be good. All right? Let's see here. Brother Barney Bear, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us, please.